will tape CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from Sixth Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, July the 6th, 2014. Sharon Mulkey is the speaker of this service, teaching on Unwrapping the Present.
Okay, so we're going to start out this way. I want to begin by reading a small section from the book, The Last Lecture, by Randy Posh. He was a professor, and he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer quite early in his life. And he said, if I was a painter, I would have painted a picture. If I was a songwriter, I would have made a song. He said, but I'm a lecturer, so I'm going to give a lecture about my life. I thought, oh, my poor kids. I guess we're going to get a lecture. No. But here we go. My imagination was always pretty hard to contain, and halfway through high school, I felt this urge to splash some of the thoughts swirling in my head onto the walls of my childhood bedroom. So I asked my parents for permission. I want to paint my walls, I said. Like what, they asked. Well, with things that matter to me, I said. Things I think will be cool, you'll see. Well, the explanation was enough for my father. And that was what was so great about my dad. He encouraged creativity in me just by giving me a smile. He loved to watch that spark of enthusiasm turn into fireworks. And he understood me and my need to express myself in unconventional ways. So he thought my wall painting was a great idea. And my mother wasn't so high on the whole idea. She's probably thinking, oh no, I'm just going to have to repaint the room again. But my mother did resent when she saw how excited I was. Well, what did he paint? What would you paint on your wall? Well, he painted the quadratic formula.
Isn't that awesome to find out what other people put on their wall?
I'm thinking, well, not quadratic formulas. Then he painted an elevator. He made his door an elevator, and they lived in a 1-floor ranch house. His sister painted him a chessboard because he loved chess. They also put on the wall Pandora's box because he had read in Greek mythology about the box. But what he liked most about the box is when the lid came off, evil did spread throughout the world. But, he said, I was always drawn to the story's optimistic ending left at the bottom of the box with hope. So inside my Pandora's box, I wrote the word hope. Now, friends who came by, they were really impressed. I can't believe your parents let you do this, they said. And my mother, though she wasn't real thrilled at the time, never painted over the room, even decades after I moved down. In fact, over time, my bedroom became the focal point of her house tour when anyone came to visit. My mom began to realize people thought this was definitely cool, and they thought she was cool for allowing me to do it. Anybody out there who is a parent, if your kids want to paint their bedroom, as a favor to me, let them do it. It'll be okay. Don't worry about the resale value of the house. I don't know how many times, more times than I got to visit my childhood home, but it is a gift every time I go there. I still sleep in my bunk bed that my father built, and I look at those crazy walls, and I think about my parents allowing me to paint, and I fall asleep, feeling lucky and pleased. One of the things that I want you to consider about unwrapping your gift is where you allow to express your creativity as a youngster. Depending on how your parents were raised and what their values were,
that he could have had the parents that said, no, you absolutely not. You're not going to paint the wall. I know one lady that her daughter wanted to decorate her room like teenagers do as a way of expressing their individuality, and she said, absolutely not. I paid a lot of money for decorators to decorate this house. You will not change one thing. But do you see how by letting the child express his creativity, this created such a love in him for his parents? Now, let's go to the next step. When you allow yourself to be creative, there's going to come a love for your spiritual father also. You appreciate that they understood you needed this creative outlook. I recently read a report that the reason a lot of people are in prison besides they didn't teach you how to read in school is that they were never allowed to do anything creative. There's something about doing creative things that brings out our humanity. You are not an animal. You are a human being. And I know the world has tried to tell you that you are an animal. Man is not an animal. It's not a mammal. It is a human being. You are in a separate class. You are not an animal. So I think it's very important that you think about, was my creativity stifled when I was a child? If I could go back, what would I do? I have a daughter, our middle daughter, her name's Candace Nicole. Like I shared the other day, she was born with a crayon in her hand, literally. And she, her teacher, her math teacher, wrote on her paper, you cannot answer the questions by drawing. You have to put a number down. She has drawn in one of our bedrooms some of the most wonderful figures, and she works for Disney now, and doing things like that. And she said, Mom, don't ever paint over. And I'm so glad that I realized how important that is for her. And I told her, I said, oh no, honey, you're going to sign it, and I'm going to sell this wall piece by piece and make a fortune on it. Okay? But every time she comes home, she doesn't say anything, but she walks upstairs to see the bedroom. And I think that's really helped keep a great bond between them. So if you have kids, grandkids, nieces, and nephews, please encourage them. Another thing that the Lord had me do when I was trying to figure out who I was and who I wasn't, because when you're little, you begin to believe that you are what others told you you are. See, God designed it that you would have godly parents, both of them mother and father, that would tell you, you are created in the image of God. You are unique. Sadly, many, many, many kids, especially in America, are living in single parent homes. Mom or dad is working two or three jobs just to try to keep food on the table. So they think that they're who the TV tells them to be, or their teacher tells them to be. So you may have in your mind some false ideas of who you are. You're not spirited. You're not dumb. You don't belong in this group. That is not who you are. You were created in the image of God. What I did was I went through magazines and all different types of magazines and cut out pictures that just I was drawn to. Like, in my mind, one of my favorite pictures is this huge, big reading chair and a girl sitting with one leg hanging over the armchair, and the whole room in the back is covered with books. Yeah, that's me. That's me. And so you just go through. And for men, you know, who are you? Sometimes unwrapping the gift is a hard job because it has been so covered over with worldly expectations, the expectations of maybe your parents, everybody in our family, the doctor, the lawyer, every woman in this family does that. And when this is a generational thing in your family, it is very difficult to break and to disagree with. That's why it is very helpful to be in a body of believers that can kind of support you in your journey if you can. If you can't, you and God can do it. So just make an album or a photo album of what you are drawn to. Only you should see this book, because the fear of being criticized makes us quickly clam up and withdraw and go back again. And we become chameleons and be what everybody else wants us to be, except who maybe we really are. No one else should see what you put in that book. And over time, just see what happens. I think what you're going to find is you may find yourself crying or angry or frustrated. That's all part of the growing process. So I would encourage you to just keep that very, very private. Another thing that the Holy Spirit has me do is, Sharon, I want you to think that you are in a prison, a locked cell. It's totally dark and you're in there. What are the things that you would miss the most? This is another way to unwrap your gift. Was, what would you miss the most? Well, the first thing that sprang to me is sunlight. I really need sunlight. I'm very grateful we live in Southern California, and we didn't have to go to Alaska for the first half of the year. My body physically needs sunlight, and my eyes need to see sunlight to wake up and to activate. They say I'm solar powered. When the sun's up, I'm up. When it's down, I'm not. But that's hey. I need dirt. Dirt. I need to feel my hands in dirt. In fact, I tried to cut half of my hand off the other day, put in the Azaleas, because I don't like to wear gloves because I like to feel the dirt. That's part of who I am. I'll be getting ready for work. I'm a nursing supervisor, and I'll be out there trying to pull weed or digging the dirt, but it keeps something inside me. Another thing is sunshine, dirt, flowers, and I would miss a cup of coffee in the morning. I'm sweet. If I didn't, there's something wrong. I'm adopted. I like to grow things. I like to see things grow. I'm a planter. I'm a cultivator. And it started with plants, and now it's gone to people. I like to cultivate people, to bring out the best of what's in people. I'm a diamond hunter. I always hunt for the diamond in the rough. Another thing you can do, and don't be afraid of this, is recently my son was taking some personality tests on the internet. He said, oh, Mom, read this. I said, Levi, that's my old son. I said, this is you to a T, honey. And I could affirm those things on there. So I took it, and it was amazing. I'm really introvert. I'm an introvert. You may not believe that. But what it is, that is the research side of me. I like to bring in my mind, and I introvert, and I research. Take some of the personality tests and see what they say. It doesn't matter what other people say about you. Does it spark something on the inside of you? See, people, you don't have to be afraid of the world. Our wise pastor told us, you need to be like the earthworm. They go through a mile of mud and it doesn't stick. So don't be afraid of being out in the world. You have to be out in the world. You're a light. You're the salt, right? You're not going to be sitting in the salt shaker all day or in the light bulb container. Don't be afraid. Fear is a magnet that will draw lots of not good things. Don't be afraid. Like we say, read the book, spit out the bones, pray for discernment. But can you list four things that you really couldn't live without that feeds your soul? Put those in your life every day. At my office at work, I say I'm too old to work without flowers. I put light, music, and flowers. They've allowed me to decorate my office any way I want, and it blesses the patients. It's not only feeding my soul, all the patients that come by the door love it, and it ministers health and life to them too. So that's what you need to put into your life every day. Another interesting book that's very, very helpful is the Birth Order book. I think it's Kevin Lehman wrote that. And the Birth Order book talks about if you're firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn. And you know, people, they have done a lot of research on this, and it's very, very accurate. Except the devil has taken it to use to enslave you and manipulate you and control you, where if you take this same research and use it to help identify who you are. When I read the book on firstborns, I got more deliverance from self-hatred because I thought, that's how firstborns are. We're going to conquer the world. And then my nationality is German. You know we're going to conquer the world. And Hitler would have, except he ran out of gas or something, blocked off his supplies or something like that. But also, Monty is firstborn son, but he has two older sisters. I mean, that's why we're still married. We have two older sisters that shaped him up. No. He learned to negotiate and how to manage. But when I realized the traits of the thirdborn, I thought, he's just the way he is. So, women, it's good to know the birth order of your kids, your spouse, and at work, I see this all the time. And I relate to my staff according to their birth order, because it's very easy to spot. A firstborn, everything has to match. You don't see me up here with two different colors. Firstborns always have to match. So you're not hiding your kids. Don't make mountains over molehills. That's one of the major things of telling them. But I learned to accept myself, and I really learned to accept others just the way they are. So the birth order book was a great help to me. This guy also said that, how exactly do you catalog your childhood dreams? He was trying to do this in the last days of his life. And how do you get other people to connect with theirs? And one of the ways that he did that is he started looking at photos of himself all through life. If you have access to photos of yourself, it's good to look at them. What were you doing? What kind of games did you play? What kind of things did you do or not do? But that's one of the things that he did. One of the lessons that he also learned about his life and in finding your gifts is no man knows when the time is up. You know, we're to plan to live forever, but you may die tomorrow.
Sure.
So you need to enjoy every day. And we'll get more into that. People of every age have childhood dreams. What I really enjoy about this message is it is for people 0 to 120. It's never too late to go back and recapture the childhood dreams that you had and see where that is to fit into your life today. He said it's a thrill to fulfill your own childhood dreams, but as you get older, you may find that enabling the dreams of others is even more fun. And it is. One of the things that Monty and I, the Lord showed us right away, is not everybody sees the person responsible for the success of others. You folks remember John Steinbeck and the Grace of Wrath? Well, there were 4 well-known authors in that time period, and excuse me for not remembering their names right now, but did you know that they were taught by one person how to write? What's his name? We don't know, do we? One of the things that the Holy Spirit has spoken to Monty and I, he said, your life will launch 1,000 ships, but no one may ever know who launched the ship. But does that make it any less important, though? You may be the catalyst in someone else's life. It doesn't really matter, people. This notoriety and being famous and in the spotlight is a very recent phenomenon in America. Always pay attention when anyone says childhood and dream in the same sentence. Here's one little boy. His name was Tommy. I want to work on the next Star Wars film, he said. Now remember, this was in 1993. The last Star Wars movie had been made in 1983, and there was no concrete plans to make any more. I said to him, well, it's going to be a tough dream to have because I don't know how they're ever going to do that. Word is on the street, they're finished the Star Wars films. No, he said, they're going to make more. And when they do, I'm going to work on them. That's my plan. Tommy was 6 years old when the first Star Wars came out in 1977. Other kids wanted to be Han Solo, but I wanted to be the special effects person, the person that designed the spaceships, the planets, and the robots. He told me that as a boy, he read the most technical Star Wars articles he could find. He had all the books that explained how the models were built
and how the special effects were achieved. And it goes on and on. Well, is this Mr. Posh was a Tommy teacher at this university. Well, I figured Tommy's big dream would never happen, but it might serve him well somehow. Anyway, so he went on, and he said, I was a pretty tough boss, but Tommy, he knuckled down and he learned. And he fit in, and he developed the gift, or I shouldn't say the gift, but he developed his desires. Well, came out, he was hired by producer-director George Lucas. Well, my. His company was the Industrial Light and Magic. But it is worth noting that they didn't hire him for his dream specifically. They hired him for his skill. But his dream is why he developed his skills. Now, see how you put this together? You have a dream. You would like to do something or be something. Then you need to develop the skills that go with that. And I have found it's not a hard thing to do because you already love it. Like when I was in anatomy class in college. And it's amazing how God directs your steps. I went to college on an agricultural scholarship. Can you imagine? We lived in Montana, right? Well, my roommate in high school was in nursing. And she was studying nursing. And I'm in agriculture. And I could care less about what all the brasses were named. And our professor was trying to tell us what came first, the chicken or the egg. And when I told him the truth, well, you know how that went over. And so I started reading all her nursing books. I just couldn't get enough. I'd stay up late at night reading all her nursing books. Well, she just didn't like nursing at all. And she was reading all the microbiology books. So the next semester, she got out of nursing, and I got out of agriculture. I went into nursing, and she went into microbiology and learned Norwegian. God is able to guide and direct our steps. But I was drawn to it. Anatomy and physiology to me was like eating a candy bar. And this is the thing, when you're naturally gifted in an area, it's not hard to learn. It may be a very complicated, complex subject, but to you, you can understand it. But it doesn't mean you won't have to develop it. A person can be gifted at the piano, but they may have to refine their technique. I do have one word of caution to artists. Many times, gifted kids will go, and they have their own artistic style, and they will go to art classes, and a tree is only drawn one way. Well, I wonder what Picasso would have said about that. Not that I endorse Picasso, he was a pervert, but anyway. He broke the mold for a lot of things, okay? God gets a good lick with a crooked stick once in a while. If you have a specific style, guard it. Just because your professors say there's only one way to do something, it may not be. Wasn't it FedEx, honey, that the guy got a C and his professor said this will never work? FedEx, anybody know FedEx? do you think they're kind of successful today? But because you see, he had a vision. He could see God had dropped something into his heart and he knew it could work. Just like little Tommy said, no, someday I'm going to do Star Wars. Now, how did he know that? Only God could have put that in there. Whether you're saved or not, God drops things into people's hearts. Do not let go of what is in your heart. Okay? Well, it's not hard to guess where this story is going, and three new Star Wars films would be made in 1999, 202, and 205. And Tommy ended up working on all of them. Because he would not let go of his dream. You will know, people, I just want to tell you that God will give you a vision to let you see something and the world won't see it. Your family may not see it. Maybe your husband, your wife, the people around you won't see it. But you can't let it go when you know it's from God. And usually, you can't let it go because it's just there and it just keeps coming back and coming back. He went on, he was at a camp, a Boy Scout camp, when they had the first moon landing. And it got later and later. He said when they were making important decisions on the moon, our camp director made a real poor decision in our camp and sent us to bed because it got to be 11 o'clock. So nobody at camp got to see the first man set foot on the moon. because bedtime was 11. It was too late to be up. But his father, who also probably had a visionary spirit like he did, he took a picture on his TV set. And it's right in the book here. It's so awesome. On the TV set, because they didn't have all these toys we do now to record everything, of the man landing on the moon. And when he got home,
wow,
he said, son, I want you to see this.
That's cool.
This is why it's important. And, you know, they criticized all the research and the money that went into landing a man on the moon. But you got to have a bigger view of life. He said, what gives you inspiration is the ultimate tool for doing good. A man putting his foot on the moon inspired the whole world to do more, to try harder, to reach out, to solve other problems that they thought could not be solved. Inspiration is the gift of God. To inspire means to breathe into. This is why they will never replace you with a robot. I have never seen an inspired robot in my life, and I won't. Because God is not going to breathe inspiration into a hunk of metal.
Right.
They're never going to come up with a unique, a light bulb moment. Inspiration is what made America great. Because like Monty said, what was it, 90% of them were entrepreneurs? They were inspired to do something, go somewhere that had never been done before. Just because they knew they could. Inspiration is the gift of God, and it is the ultimate tool for doing good when you're inspired. Inspiring someone to be the most they can be, and that is how the greatest problems on earth get solved. I can do that. Let me solve that. Oh, let me have an idea. I just loved it. The other day I was watching for the new idea that they have on loading planes, where everybody gets in here and then they just let it right into the plane, and I thought, now that is awesome. If you want to do something to start exercising your brain and getting the ruts out of your brain, drive a different way to work every day. Make your mind start working and thinking. Because it gets in this trance-like thing. And then to reinforce, if you go to church and they sing the same song 35 times, you go into a hypnotic trance. And you don't come out of that altered alpha state. So you're very susceptible. So start Mandy, now, you can get my message on conversational hypnosis back there. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other message. What wisdom or what gift do you want to impart to the world? And if you were to die tomorrow, what would you want people to say at your funeral? Live life backwards. You'll get a lot farther with what you want to do today. What do you want people to say about your life at your funeral? In fact, it might be good for you to write out your own funeral.
Mm-hmm.
Your eulogy, is that what they call that?
Mm-hmm.
My father just passed away. And my mom, she made a really good comment. She said, boy, I wish Dad could have heard all that. How he impacted so many people's lives.
Oh.
And just on and on and on. But to give your direction today for your life, for the rest of your life, what do you want people to say about you? What is your legacy when you leave this world? Think about it. That's another way to unwrap your gift. Remember, to the extent that you know what your gifts and talents are is the measure and extent to how much you know yourself and what you can do. Because you are the gift. Luke 9:62 says, anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Holy cow! That's a little bit harsh, Sharon. But I didn't write that. Luke 9:62. Anyone who lets himself be distracted from the work I plan for him is not fit for the kingdom of God. Pretty important. 2 Peter 1:10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So right there, that's the scripture telling you, God put the gift in you beforehand, before the earth was even made. Right? He created you to do the good work, not good work, like spaghetti suppers and all that kind of baloney stuff. The good work is doing
what your bills give. That's talking about chicken drop. Your gifts and talents are. You know the work that you're supposed to do for God? It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work that I would have you to do, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to save you so much time right there, running around trying to do good and be good. And the other thing is, if you're not developing your gifts and talents, you're building someone else's kingdom and not your own. Because there's always people in the world that are trying to get your money, and they're trying to get you to do what they want to build their kingdom. And some churches are guilty of this. Proverbs 29:18 says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Maybe some of you are feeling depressed, lethargic, lifeless, because you don't have a vision for your life. You don't know where you're going, what you're going to do. You wake up in the morning and you go, oh, okay, I'm here. Yeah, I will share later. I guess what we do when we wake up, if we want to get on down the road with God. Most people are spending their time building other people's kingdoms or corporations. I go to work, I'm a nurse, I work 3 days a week, but I'm not building their kingdom. I'm there because that's where God has me. I'm using one of the sets of the gifts and talents I have at work. I'm also doing and combining my medical knowledge with deliverance. As far as I know, I'm the only one that's combining those two and giving deliverance by using the medical model. I didn't realize I was the only one until somebody told me, who travels all over the world, Sharon, I've never heard this from anybody else. I thought, wow. So right there, he helped me see what God was having me to do. And God will send people to you too. Did you know that most of the inventions today are made from people after they retire? And they quit working for somebody else and they have time to sit and think. KFC chick, Colonel Sanders is one of them. I love the story of Grandma Moses. This is a real rebuke to me. Now, Grandma Moses was raised and they were kind of poor. And they didn't have money for paint. Her paintings now sell for millions of dollars. Maybe they should have spent $1 on a can of paint for her and have her paint, and maybe they could have lived life with millions of dollars instead of in poverty until she was like 80, 90 years old. I mean, she was so old when she first started painting. And now her paintings are worth millions. And they would have been back then. Now, do you see how her gift was making a way for her, but it just didn't fit into the time? What limiting things ask God to show you if you're thinking limiting thoughts? If you're afraid to spend money on something to develop your gift, maybe you'll have to eat beans for 3 weeks, but you want to buy a very fancy erector set to become an engineer. Who knows? But do you see how that whole family lived in poverty their whole life, and that was not God's plan for them at all? Here she is, one of the most gifted thinkers. She taught herself. That is a rebuke to me, and whenever I start thinking I'm getting off the path, I just go look at my Grandma Moses today. And I go, Grandma Moses, I'm buying a pink. One of the things that comes against you unwrapping your gifts is, are you male or female? The society you live in and the culture that you live in. These are all gift stealers. Men do this, women do that. We live in an age where we are much freer than we have been, but I still remember the day when the first woman doctor went to school. They allowed the first woman to become a doctor. Religious spirits, sad to say, have put people in so many boxes. Women only do this. And a religious spirit is very hard to get deliverance from because they think it's God. And they're not going to let go of God. We have people in our church that have been there for 25 years and they're still getting deliverance from Catholic spirits. These things run very deep and they're very, very wicked. Family expectations is another one. My mother and father always wanted this or always wanted that. My brother was pressured into getting a good education because then you'll make a living. Because writers and artists don't make any money. Well, he is a writer, but he has a very technical education. and he should have been a writer. He is a writer, but not to the extent that he could have been. Because my parents said to get an education, and that way you'll have a steady job and money coming in. Because that's what it was for them. Role expectations and family expectations can be very hard to come against. Another issue is when the parents want to live their life through the child. Now, I wanted to be a ballerina, but I never could, so you're going to be a ballerina. And they may guide it very well, or they may have all these wonderful reasons why, but the bottom line is they want to live their life through you. If you're a parent, check for those. Society is another one. I'm fortunate. I work with many people from around the world, and they all have their own way of doing things. But I have to tell you people, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not right. I don't care how many centuries they've been doing it. A man is to have one wife. A bride is to have many more. Your golden rule and your standard is always the Word of God. And that's what we try to line up with. Line upon line, deliverance after deliverance. Another big spirit is worthlessness. And this one is tricky, because it can hide real deep, but it robs you of God's best for your life, because you're not really worth it. You're not worth my time. You're not worth my energy. You're not worth... And this comes across very subtly. I'm bringing this list to you and many more because the Holy Spirit will start bringing back to you things in the days and weeks ahead and say, this is the spirit of worthlessness or unworthiness. Another big one is abuse. Abuse is such a killer on many levels. The first thing that abuse does is it obliterates your will and your desires, your hopes, and your dreams. And you learn real quick that if I don't submit, I could be dead. Because they feed me. It's a matter of life and death. When you find people, when they get into situations where they react totally out of proportion to what's happening, it could be abuse. Because it goes back to life and death. Abuse fragments your mind, fragments your heart, and it fragments your will. And the will that God gave you to be submitted to Him is replaced with demonic spirits that learned real fast how to cooperate with the abuser so you didn't die, so you weren't killed, so you weren't beat again. So this is a major area of deliverance I want you to consider, is that your will has been taken over by demons and you have to for survival. I know in my own life this is a major, major area. Just do what you're told. Just do what you're told. The military's masters of this. I got, we won't have time to go into it, but I have a whole article how they systematically break you down and break your will down. And what they're doing is they're taking out your will. And they're putting in you what they want so that you will kill on command. So people from the military need to get deliverance in those areas. Abuse tells you can't say no. So people use you, and they abuse you all your life. They take advantage of you. You may even resent it and not even like it and not even know why. But it may be greater than abuse. Abuse also causes you to have no emotional, physical, social, and mental boundaries. It breaks that whole system that God put in each and every person to have boundaries. Sometimes you're going to know that a boundary has been crossed in your life when you react with anger. Sometimes anger is telling you, you have crossed the line. It's not always an evil thing. Impatience is another thing. Fatalism, what will be, it's called learned helplessness. And if they can get you into learned helplessness, I can't do anything about it. Whole country's going to hell, but I can't do anything about it. I'm only one person. That's exactly how they want you to feel. But they fear you. They fear the people and the uprising of the people. That's why they put fluoride in the water to subdue all of you, because it's not preventing cavities. That is not That fluoride trashes your thyroid. You get lethargic, tired, overweight. That's what fluoride does. It doesn't prevent cavities. There has not been an uprising since they've been putting fluoride in the water, and that was during World War II. They experimented and then put in the camps on that. Everybody in Egypt thinks we're fools. Why aren't you rising up and overthrowing your government like we did? Yeah, why aren't we? I don't know. All the fluoride and all the other psychotropic drugs are putting in the water. Wound. Growing up, we are wounded. What people say to us hurts. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's a lie. I was called fatty and diesel and all sorts of things. Wounds. And all anybody has to do, and the devil is the master of this, because he knows your life, and the demons know your life, because they were around since you were born, and they've been hunting you and tracking you and making sure. All anybody has to do is bring up a situation that triggers a wound, and you're right back where you were 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old. This is a real marriage killer. Wounds. When Monty and I, the Lord started showing us about this, and we asked God to heal our wounds, and that's all you have to do. Say, God, that hurt me. When they said that, when they did that, say, Lord, that hurt me. Heal my wounds. No one else can heal your wounds but God. The one who wounded you cannot heal you. And, oh, I used to be so irritated at that. But he said that. He should just, you should have to do something to make it right. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. The sooner you get that established, the sooner you go to God and say, Lord, that hurt me. And see, from this day forward, people, your life's going to be different. Because God's going to start doing things in your life. He's going to start bringing up these things that you've heard at the conference. But now you know how to handle them and how to deal with them, right? Right. Another huge gift stealer is abandonment. Abandonment, shame, and betrayal are some of the three biggest kingdoms that everybody carries around with them. Betrayal came from the Garden of Eden, put in abandonment and shame, but these spirits will work to keep you out of what God has created you to do. And they're sneaky, and you may not recognize them. Stereotypes. As soon as you're stereotyped, you are put in a box and locked with a lock. We have to watch that we don't stereotype people, and that we don't let people stereotype up. Oh, you're from the South. Oh, you're from the North. You're from California. Let me tell you about those people. Yeah, I used to say, that's what we said. When we didn't live in California, that was the land of fruits and nuts. That's what everybody in Montana said. There, fruits and nuts. And then God was sending us there. I thought, oh, no, I'm going to be a fruit and nut, you know. But people... And this happens very early in life. Oh, you're the smart kid. You're the smart one in the family. You're the rebellious one. You're the stupid one. You're this. And that sticks. And that could be crippling you because you weren't the smart one. But what your parents didn't see is that you had other gifts and talents. But remember, the world only wants who's beautiful, who's smart, and who plays on the football team. And who will be a slave and a robot to their corporations. Self-pity, blame, rebellion, pessimism. People, pessimism will just keep you in the pit all the time. Always looking at the negative, never seeing anything good. Some families are just, you who raised their families like that. Those are spirits. Shame. Arrested development. Self hatred is huge, especially with women, and fear of failure is huge with men. Men are afraid of failing. Women have self-hatred because I don't look like Barbie. I'm not popular. And let me tell you, girls are mean to each other. Very, very wicked. Double-mindedness and confusion. False humility. Isolation, alienation. Inferiority is a huge spirit. And the world is trying to make all Christians feel inferior. Lack of self-respect. You don't respect yourself. Shyness. Shyness is a spirit. It's not cute. Don't let your little girls get away with being shy. That's not cute.
restlessness, discontent. Here probably find you battle with depression, discouragement, resignation, or angry. What does my life matter? Disappointment. The same old thing every day. Regrets. I've made it a purpose in my life. You know, people have these bucket lists. Well, the thing in my bucket list, I am not going to have regrets at the end of my life. Because I work with people who die every day, practically. I see the people that die with regrets, and I'm not dying that way. Actually, it's kind of good to work with people at the end of their life, because you find out how you don't want to die. The world has taken the educational process from where our gifts and talents were to be identified and nurtured and developed, to bless yourself and the world, to stimulus response, and just the creation of a slave, mindless state. Conditioning. You have been conditioned. Don't think. Don't think. Just respond. Conformity and standardization. Everybody wears the same thing. Everybody talks the same way. You see, I've never really agreed with all the kids at school wearing the same thing. Now, both my parents are teachers, so I know arguments on all four sides. The right side, the left side, the wrong side, and the
truth. And the truth.
And the truth, which is neither one of us said you guys. Because that takes away your individuality right there. And that's why in the military, they cut your hair. That's why in concentration camps, they take your clothes and cut your hair. They take everything away from you that says what you are. Standardization, conform, line up, rigidity, everybody the same, because you're much easier to control that way. Well, they took discipline out of the school, so when people started wearing all this crazy stuff to school, they couldn't do anything. What was wrong? There was no discipline in school. All of this has been by design, people. It's all been by design, so that the tail wagged the dog, instead of the dog wagging the tail. It says the children ride over them. Education today is like fast food. It's guaranteed, but it's bad for us. We want standardized outcomes. We want every child not to be able to read and submit to the New World Order. That's about what it says in fine print. How do I know the education system isn't working? Because we have a 40% dropout rate in the United States. 40% of the kids are smart enough to get out of school and get out. You know the man that made Virgin Air or whatever? Quit school when he was 12. The guy that discovered the genome, the molecular sequencing of the DNA, died out of school when he was 12. Smart enough to find out that school was not going to help him. School does not teach you what you need to know. They are just making you conform, and they're indoctrinating you. They are not teaching you. They're not teaching you to think. And that went out in the 30s. Well, this has been real good for our country. Because let's see now, we have an increased suicide rate where men, 4 to 1, commit suicide. The young people are disengaging from society and from themselves. 63 million people in the age group of 15 to 20, 13% of them are unemployed. Did you know from the age 15 to 40, man, you were made to work and work hard. That's how God made you. And that's what makes you have purpose and meaning. And that's not wrong. So what do you do to destroy a nation of men? You just don't give them any work to do. You ship everything over to China where they're still making these people live like slaves. They've had to put big nets up around these buildings where they bring them in from the country because they're committing suicide at such a fast rate. They don't care about these other countries. They're using slave labor. And they just keep going from country to country to country. Now, China's rising up saying we want better wages, so they'll just go to the next country. The spirit of discouragement is rampant. And people have no idea of who they are, what they were created to do. 1 in 31 people in America are in jail. It's big business. Did you know Texas had to pass a law that they could not take kids straight from school to jail? Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200 like in the Monopoly game. Because jail is big business. When they privatize something, that means there's a lot of money in it.
and the government's been off to feed it. But feed this. The education system of today does not contribute solutions to any of our problems. And that's why they're trying to make homeschooling illegal. Did you know that the IQ test was created by members of the Illuminati? I know the woman, I talked with her, and she, I think one of her relatives was on the project. What they're doing is just like they've done in some countries, is they're classifying you, and if you don't make a certain grade by a certain time, you go down a certain rat hole. In Germany, they have these testing. Fifth grade, they test you for this. Okay? Did you know that in any time frame, a teenager's IQ can go up 30 or 40 points? It can differ every day. God forbid you get tested on the day when it's down 30%. You get shuffled off to the rat hill that says, okay, you're going to be a little robot slave. It used to be America was the land of opportunity where anybody could go to school and learn and better themselves. That was what used to be in our education system. Used to be you could go back to school at any age and change the job you did and what you wanted to do. Nowhere else in the world do they do this, people. By 18, your life is signed, sealed, and delivered in most of these countries.
That's right.
And 95% of them are sealed to servitude and to slavery. Oh, they call it a paid job, but you're really a slave. Remember, the world always measures the outside. It never measures the inside. The world cannot understand the things of the spirit. Everything has to be measurable and counted. And that goes back to Saturn. And I'm doing a whole series on this back at our home church. Human life thrives on diversity versus conformity in school. Conform, conform, conform. And God forbid you break out of the mold.
You're in trouble.
Yeah, you're at the principal's office and then you're suspended. I thank God the day that they suspended our youngest son and said, you can't come back to school. That's why we should have done it years before that. They target kids. They target them, and they plant stuff on, and they harass those kids until they're out of the school system because they only want the ones that are very compliant. Just because you were a straight-A 4.0 kid doesn't mean anything. All that means is that you were compliant, and you memorized all their garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You memorized all their garbage. So there's nothing to be proud about with that. But the devil rewards his own. And that's how he does it. Did you know that most employers would rather hire a C student? Because one, they usually get along with people better. They don't think they know it all. Another thing that's been in our culture that is a gift stealer is instant gratification. Nobody wants to wait for nothing. Instant gratification. Nobody is willing to wait and to work and to let God bring things into their life. People are, they're spiritually short-sighted. I don't see it today, it ain't gonna happen. We live in an over-stimulated world, and we've been trained that way. Stimulus response, stimulus response. Little rat, you want your food? You better push this button, little rat. You wanna get paid? You better do this, you little rat. I hope I'm making some demons mad. Are you getting mad at me?
Huh? Are you
getting... I think you are. That just means you're not mad at me, the demons are. That's good. So we've had them attack the pulpit, do all sorts of fun things. We've had them throw high heels at the speakers. I mean, the one with the things with spikes on, you know? The world worships the mind and it has taken out your heart. And the heart is where you do all your thinking, people. The heart is where the issues of life are, people. The heart has more brain cells than your brain does. I've done whole big time messages on all of this stuff. For out of the heart, man thinks. For out of the heart, man believes unto salvation. It's no different. They're just a little bit more subtle in the way they do it. Instead of laying you on an altar and just ripping your chest open and pulling your heart out like the Aztec Indians and all them did, they just do it in a more subtle way. But they're still taking the heart out. They just want you to be a brain. That's why you see aliens with the big heads and the little tiny bodies. Your body needs a brain and your brain needs a body. God put it together, otherwise he wouldn't have given you everything. Unforgiveness and bitterness. The world owes me a living, and self-pity, I'm telling you, self-pity will keep you in the hog pen. Poor me. Poor me. You know, there's no excuses, people. God is no respecter of persons. That is what is so wonderful. He is no respecter of persons. The other thing that you have got to get established and quit fighting God about is the country you were born in, the age you are, the sex you are, the city you live in, the job you do. Start where you're at. And you must know that that is where God puts you. He is a sovereign God. You know, F.B. Meyer said it real plain. I kind of have a mind that likes to gobble up things. It's like that. There was one robot movie way back when. Is it D2R2? I don't know who his name was. But he goes, input, 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 you know. And you just go to the library and go, you know, and just all the books are going, all the books are going. And my brain would like to do that, too. But you know what I tell my brain? Shut up. Sit down. I'm tired, and I'm not inputting no more. Or my brain would say, oh, I'm bored. Don't you want to go read another book or something? Shut up. I bind you. I'm not doing that right now. A lot of people have problems with mind racing. Your mind goes all the time. Never lets you rest. And other people have, other groups of people have to do the same thing every day, and they are not happy about it. They're kicking against the pricks. F.B. Meyer had the most brilliant thing, and it's called the common task. A young friend, richly gifted, but who is tied by inexorable necessity to an office stool, has complained to me that his life afforded no outlet for the adequate exercise of his powers. His groan is a very common one. So many grumble about the monotony of life's dead level, which the great majority of us have to traverse. The upland paths, which give an ecstasy to tread in the bracing air and the expanding glory of the world, are for the few. For most of us, it is the trivial round, the common task. Each morning, the bell calls to the same routine of commonplace toil. Each hour brings the same program of trifles. There seems no chance for doing anything heroic or great, which will be worth having lived for, or will shed a light back on all paths and a forward on all coming days. But, F.B. Meyer says here, but there are two considerations that I would like you to think about that will maybe help you get out of your depression and self-pity. One, all life is part of the divine plan. He has chosen the circumstances of our life because they are the shortest path. If only we use them, as we should, to reach the goal on which he has set his heart. A lot of people spend a lot of their time daydreaming. What would be this? What would be this? And TV and fantasy and all of that, a lot of those programs are designed to make you discontent. Well, why can't my garden look like the one on Home and Garden TV? Why can't my house be decorated like that? Well, I'll tell you right now, I don't have a staff of 50 people like he does. But they don't tell you that. Why can't I cook like Julia Child? Did you know she was a spy in France? Isn't that cool? I mean, that's just some of the things that can happen. I mean, that was just like pretty neat. I just thought that was fun. Who would ever suspect the cook? Right? Be a cook. Anyway, so you never know, you cooks out there at home. Maybe you'll be a spy for a day. That's an exciting life. Maybe you would pick another country to live in. Maybe you would pick another age. Around the time of the flood, maybe. Or maybe Exodus, where you were trying to get out of town for your life. Or the early martyrs. Maybe you would have chosen another family to live with. I'm embellishing you because you're kind of a writer. Anyway, he might have chosen some other family. The royal family, of course. And I am Queen so-and-so, and I sit beside King so-and-so. Maybe you would be a teacher or a world-class preacher or have an author of well-renowned. But alas, God has chosen this country, this age, and where you are right now for you to be in. So we must believe that these presented is the likeliest and the swiftest way for realizing his purpose. Can you settle that in your heart today, people? I'm where I'm at, and that's right where God wants me to be. And where He takes me from here, who knows? But today, I'm here, I'm in this country, I'm born a male, a female, or whatever, and that's okay. You didn't miss it. A lot of people have the fear of missing God's will. You can't miss God's will because you are the gift, remember? The gift is in you. You can't miss it. You just kind of have to dig it out a little bit. And I encourage that. You can wonder at the complaints of the aimless, the vanity, the weariness of life. The dishes always reappear in the sink. You know, like Mary Poppins. You know, as she sings, what is it, a spoonful of sugar, up the mountain, go down. Well, that still kind of works. But the part that I can't get is when she just kind of sings that and the toys march to the toy box and the beds get made. I mean, I have sang that every which way. Nothing happens, right? And every day there are dishes in the sink. There's laundry to be done. Well, people either have no plan or they've gotten a wrong one. What's the fashion? What do others do? What's the correct thing? How much better and wiser to believe that God has a perfect plan for each of us and that He is unfolding it a bit at a time by the events which He puts into our life every day. And God brought you into deliverance to get out some of the roadblocks. You're a hot Maserati going down the road and there is a boulder the size of Texas on the road. That's going to kind of impede you from getting to your goal, right? That's a demon. That's something in your life. And that's why God brought you into deliverance. So you can get rid of the rocks and the boulders on the road so that you can continue down the road on His plan for your life. You cannot do this without deliverance. There's just too many things. There's too many roadblocks that God, the devil has put up in our lives for generations. But with deliverance, you will get your life back, the one God has always wanted for you. And you will have a life you cannot even imagine. But every day, God will bring into your life what you need. And maybe that day is the day you need deliverance. At our church, we say your worst day is your best day. How do you know you have a spirit of impatience unless it's tested? How do you know that you have a spirit of fear or anger or hatred unless God allows it to be pushed up? There's no condemnation because God is pushing those things up for you to see what's there. The demons do not want to expose themselves because now they know that you know. The demons know that you know who they are.
True.
And they are going to try to submarine. In fact, they're probably going to go. You're going to go home, and it's going to be so quiet. Oh, hallelujah. I just had such a great time with that king. Everybody's like, wonderful. And the demons are going, Three weeks, all hell breaks loose. Well, I'm telling you, it didn't do me any good to go back to hell. I'm not spending my money again. No, the only thing is they submarined on you. Now, this is a very important principle, people. The submarine principle of deliverance. This happens in a lot of marriages. The guy looks like Prince Charming until after the wedding because all his demons have submarined, and then you get married, and all of a sudden, everything comes to the surface. Uh-oh. Okay, here we go. But how you live is this way. Everything that God brings into your life is to get you to where you're supposed to go. So you go out and your car has four flat tires. Okay, does that scripture, praise God and all things, come to your mind? That's where the rubber meets the road, people. That's where Christianity is real life. No, God will put the heat on in your life to bubble up the dross, and He'll scoop off the dross. How do you do that? In Jesus Christ's name, I command you spirits to get out of me. Not off of me. They're not on your shoulders, people. That's dandruff or something else. It is not a demon. You say, get out of me now in Jesus Christ's name. And then the gold comes up. And things calm down a little bit. And God says, okay, you're ready for the next round. Your kids are this, your kids are that, your husband, all this stuff, and you're just stuff boiling up in you. And that's when you say, I bind you, get out of me now, in Jesus Christ's name. That's all, that is the process of deliverance, people. Okay? If you recognize these things, you'll know what to do. But nobody tells people the simple things. Like, what do I do when I get home? God does not show us the whole plan of our life at a verse. And I'm so glad he did, because if he would have showed Monty and I married a farmer for Pete's sake. I just got out of nursing school. I married the most handsome man I've known since, what, 15 or 16? He robbed the cradle. And so I married a farmer. I was going to be a happy rancher wife. You know, here we are. Who knew, right? God unfolds our life to us bit by bit. Each day he gives us the opportunity of weaving a curtain, carving a peg, or fashioning the metal. This is what I'm talking about, invasion. Or I want it now. You know, God is more interested in developing your character instead of you being a character. Because the character he's developing in you goes with you to eternity. I mean, you do not want us all to get up into heaven and we go, oh, there's that character over there. In the meantime, let us believe that God's love and wisdom are doing the very best for us. One of the things you have to know, God is for you. He loves you. There is no condemnation in Christ, people. He's not saying, oh, you bad girl, you did that, you bad girl. You know what? How do people react? Well, I'll tell you. It's like weight on an ant. They curl up and die. That's what happens. Instead of opening up your heart to a loving, kind, compassionate God and saying, God, I can't stand myself anymore. Help me. But when you come under criticism and condemnation, you're in a horrible place. Took me a long time to get rid of the condemnation because I was raised with abuse and a real critical spirit from my mother. Took me a long time to love myself, accept myself, and to know that God loved me no matter what. It took God a long time. You know, here's what you can do. In the morning, you ask God to show you his plan for the day in the unfolding of its events. And to give you grace and peace to do or bear all that he has prepared. Just lay in bed and say this before your feet hit the floor. At noontime, you can say, Father, is this the plan? At night, you can be still and quiet and lay your head on your pillow and match your actual with God's ideal. You can confess your sins and shortcomings. Lord, I just wasn't patient. Help me. And asking that his will may be more perfectly done in you, even as it is in heaven, and go to sleep in peace. See, life, God works supernaturally natural. It's so natural you don't know it's supernatural. And that's why most people miss it. The church today is looking for the glitz and the glam and the glitter, and the devil has been happy to oblige. And it's made people that go to work every day, that make this country run, that make the communities work, that make their families work, seem like you're boring. You're the backbone of your family, your community, your country, but, oh, that's boring. That's what the devil will say. This is boring. You're not doing anything. I have a thing, I don't remember all the words, but it says, my life is just a weaving between the Lord and me. I do not see all the stitches, but I see the back and he sees the front. And if you've ever looked at the back of an embroidery, you know, you got the knots and the things. And then you turn it over and it's a beautiful picture. We probably won't see the picture till eternity. We just kind of see the knots and skip lines and we go, I don't know how that's meant. Mm-hmm. We are sent into this world to build up characters which will be blessed and useful in eternity for which we are being trained. Like I said in the first message, what you're developing inside you now is going to be used for eternity. And you know, you can go to the head of the glass. Do you want to go to heaven and be in kindergarten? Or do you want to be in one of the upper grades? The more character you allow God to develop in your life now, the higher grace will be enough there. See, everybody thinks they're going to live like the devil down here and go into heaven and reap the same rewards as everybody else. That is not biblical. Oh, there's going to be joy. It'll be a thimble full, but it'll be full of joy. How about having a bathtub full of joy? How about having an Olympic-sized swimming pool full of joy in turn for you to heaven? That's the vision I want to give you today. See, everybody thinks down here they can live however they want, do whatever they want, everybody gets the same reward in heaven.
No.
That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It pays to live a godly life now. Because you'll have all eternity to enjoy it. The thing that you have to realize is there's only one of you, you are indestructible, and the world cannot get by without you. Put this in your brain. If you died today, the world would be missing something that it should have had. You're not replaceable. There's a place only you can fill.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.